Nearly 100 Palestinians are killed in the latest round of Israeli strikes on Gaza. The overall death toll from the aggression is approaching 32,000. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vows to launch a ground invasion of Rafah in a gesture of defiance against calls to stop the genocide in Gaza. The Netherlands, the UK, and several other European countries witnessing fresh protests against the ongoing U.S.-Israeli war on Gaza. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. Some 5 months into the Israeli genocidal war on the Gaza Strip, the regime continues pounding the blockaded territory with indiscriminate airstrikes and artillery fire. The Gaza Health Ministry says at least 92 people were killed and 130 wounded over the past day. At least 12 were killed in an Israeli strike on a residential building in Deir al-Bala. According to the ministry, Israel prevents medical teams from reaching victims who are still under the rubble. Israeli jets, meantime, continue bombing residential buildings across the coastal strip, including Gaza City. The suffering is not limited to just being targeted by bombs. According to UNRWA, malnutrition and famine are also striking northern Gaza and are now moving to southern areas. Since the beginning of the Israeli war in early October, 31,645 Palestinians have been killed, most of them women and children. Now, the head of the World Health Organization calling on Israel not to launch a ground offensive on the southern Gaza city of Rafah, where 1.5 million displaced Palestinians have sought shelter. Tedros Ghebreyesus said that the escalation of violence in Rafah would lead to many more deaths and suffering. He called on Israel to refrain from the attack in the name of humanity. Tedros added that people in Rafah are too fragile, hungry, and sick to be moved around. On Friday, the Israeli Prime Minister approved plans to attack Rafah despite increasing international calls not to do such a thing. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that the regime will proceed with a planned ground offensive in Gaza's southern Rafah city. He criticized Israel's allies for what are called having a short memory. Now, the comments came despite growing international concerns about a war in Gaza and domestic criticism of his handling of the war. On Sunday, Jordan and Germany warned that an Israeli ground attack on Rafah would worsen humanitarian conditions in the southern Gaza Strip. The UN World Health Organization chief also urged Israel not to launch the assault. Meanwhile, a former Israeli military commander said that Israel has already lost its war against Hamas. Yitzhak Brick said, "What's happening in the Gaza Strip and Lebanon will blow up in our faces sooner or later." Now, people in different European countries continue to voice solidarity with Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. In the Netherlands capital, hundreds of pro-Palestine demonstrators gathered outside the National Holocaust Museum for the second time since last week. The demonstration came as a delegation from the Israeli regime was visiting the National Holocaust Museum. Protesters held pictures of the children killed in the Israeli bombings in Gaza. They called for an immediate end to the genocidal war. In another European capital, London, people displayed support for Palestinians in a rally against racism. They called for an end to the Israeli occupation of Palestine. Also in Italy, hundreds of rallies gathered in Milan in support of Palestinians. They held signs reading, "Stop the genocide in Gaza and stop arming Israel." The German city of Berlin was also the scene of a massive rally.
We are here to demonstrate for Palestine. And I think it's not only about Palestine here, it's also about showing our anger towards the German media and the German politicians, because they have a lot of power and they decided to take a side. And even they use sometimes some wars for a human crisis or something like this. I can't believe it. I have the feeling that it's just an empty wars.
The protesters demanded an immediate ceasefire. They carried blood-stained small mock body bags in reference to the large number of children killed in Gaza. In the Austrian capital of Vienna, thousands took to the streets to slam the Israeli genocide. The demonstration was part of the Israeli Apartheid Week, called by the BDS movement, which promotes boycott against Israeli products and multinational companies linked to the regime. The protesters taking part in the rally said that the European governments are complicit in the Israeli crimes. U.S. President Joe Biden warning that freedom and democracy is under attack, and that after former President Donald Trump suggested a bloodbath in the case of losing the fall election. Biden was speaking at the Griodon Club dinner, which was packed with journalists and politicians. He said Trump's lies about a 2020 election, the plot to overturn it, and to embrace the January 6th attack on the Capitol have posed the greatest threat to America's democracy. President Joe Biden's campaign also stated that Trump wants another January 6th to happen. On Saturday, Republican nominees for U.S. President Donald Trump said if he doesn't win the fall election, America would never have another election in the country.
If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. If this election isn't won, I'm not sure that you'll ever have another election in this country. Does that make sense? I don't think you're going to have another election in this country. If we don't win this election, I don't think you're going to have another election, or certainly not an election that's meaningful. And we better get out, or we better...
Trump was addressing a gathering of GOP supporters in Ohio, urging the people to vote for him in the November presidential election. Trump lashed out at his Democratic rival and incumbent President Joe Biden, saying that he has destroyed America's economy. He said that Americans will not enjoy proper social security, medical, and other welfare services with Biden in office. Campaigning has intensified in recent weeks, with Trump and Biden attacking each other's record and character. The Nigerian government says it's stopped its military cooperation with the U.S. with immediate effect. In our news review program, we delved into the story and asked for some expert opinion.
Niger's government says it has broken its military cooperation agreements with the U.S., calling the accord illegal.
The U.S. presence on the territory of the Republic of Niger is illegal and violates all the constitutional and democratic rules which would require the sovereign people, in particular through its elected representatives, to be consulted on the installation of a foreign army on its territory.
Abramana said the government revoked with immediate effect a military accord that allows military personnel and civilian staff from the U.S. Department of Defense on its soil. The declaration came just a day after a senior U.S. delegation left Niger, following a three-day visit to renew contact between the two countries. U.S. relations with Niger faces challenges after a military coup ousted the Western-backed president in the African country last year. However, the U.S. still stations some 1,000 troops in Niger at a desert drone base. Niger has previously severed military ties with its former colonizer, France. It forced French troops in the country to withdraw after nearly a decade. Fidel Amakye, Ozusu, International Relations and Security Analyst, joins us from Accra. We also have with us Jonathan Ofe Ansa, who's a publisher at Africa Briefing, who joins us from London. Welcome to you both. Fidel, let me first start with you, and I'm just going to quote the Niger's military spokesman, because he pretty much explained why this relationship is going to end. And I'd like to find out from you what your reaction is to, for example, how he said that the agreement that was signed between Niger and the U.S. back in 2012 was imposed on Niger and have been in violation of the constitutional and democratic rules of the country and its sovereignty. Tell us why this was imposed, what he means, and how it violated Niger's sovereignty.
Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. Firstly, the year under review, which is 2012, was a year when extremists were awarded in the Sahel. So in Mali and Niger, we found Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb and Ansar-Din, a Tuareg-backed group that was sweeping across the region, taking cities in central Mali and in the northwest Niger. So that was a time where Operation Barkhane by France was started, and so it was the same time the US decided to establish a drone base in Niger in order to fight extremists. Now, the processes that led to that may have been not that thorough, or may not have followed laid down rules as the military junta claims. However, at the time, it was more of an emergency situation that brought the United States to the place. Currently, we've seen a coup d'etat in Niger, and the junta is having to cut ties with the West. And so France has been removed from Niger. And so this current announcement that the junta is ending its relations with the U.S. is not too surprising, despite the fact that U.S. foreign policy with Niger has been different from that of France.
Okay, well, let's get into that foreign policy. And again, I'm going to quote the Niger's military spokesperson, who has said, Jonathan Ofsay, the government of Niger regrets the desire of the American delegation to deny the Nigerian people the right to choose their partners and the types of partnerships capable of helping them to truly fight against terrorists. And he said, Niger forcefully denounces the condescending attitude of the U.S. To me, it sounds like Niger is saying that the U.S. is not a partner when it comes to fighting terrorists.
Yes. See, they are, for the wording of the government spokesman, one word, you know, stands out: condescending. Okay. Look, Niger, you know, is a small country, so-called impoverished country. The U.S., you know, is a super, the world's only superpower, if you like, right? And according to the junta statement, the U.S. did not follow the normal diplomatic protocols. You visit the country, I mean, you form the host government, and even state the number of the delegation, okay? But in this case, America did not do that. According to the spokesman, again, his statement, you know, they just came in, even not on the date that was agreed upon, okay? So that was condescending. And I believe that during the meetings they had, I mean, the U.S., as usual, might have, you know, tried to impose certain conditions, you know, might have, you know, given some threats, you know, because the U.S. Is not happy with Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger's increasing alliance with Russia. So that is what, you know, the U.S. was trying to counteract. But the U.S., you know, is failing, you know, to see that the geopolitical situation in Francophone West Africa is changing. They could have taken a cue from Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, you know, expelling French troops from their territories. Okay, they should have taken a cue from that and at least try to deal with Niger, maybe as an equal, but not in that condescending manner. So the reaction by Niger was natural. Niger wanted to, or was to, assert its sovereignty, its independence, right? The dynamics in that region are changing. So this is what the U.S. has to take note. So what, in my opinion, what Niger did was the right one, it may come at a cost, but then sovereignty always, asserting your sovereignty always comes at a cost.
Thank you very much for that. Fidel Amakye Owusu, International Relations and Security Analyst, and Jonathan Ofe Ansa, Publisher at Africa Briefing. Thank you to you both. With that, we come to an end for this news review.
A new pro-Palestine rally has been organized in Italy. This, as the Italian defense minister has confirmed, his country's arms export to Tel Aviv have continued despite a block announced last year. Max Cibili reports from Rome.
On Saturday, thousands of people joined a new rally in the Italian capital, organized, among the others, by the Movement of the Palestinian Students and the Association of the Palestinians in Italy. The initiative, dubbed Stop the Genocide, also saw the participation of high school students and families. People at the rally strongly condemned Italy's unwavering support to the Israeli regime.
Italy, that claims to be a democratic nation, is a country where the government goes against the people's will. Profits always come first, even when a genocide is taking place. I'm teaching my kids to never give up the fight and to never accept being submitted.
The Italian Defense Minister Guido Crosetto has recently said that Rome has continued to export arms to Israel despite assurances last year that the government was blocking such sales following Tel Aviv's invasion of the Gaza Strip. Some Italian media reports recently revealed that despite the Italian government's denials, the value of arms sales to Israel more than tripled in December 2023 compared with the same month in 2022. And December last year was the peak of Israeli bombardments on the Gaza Strip.
Western governments have been systematically supporting Zionism and Israel's criminal regime, notwithstanding the protests against Israel's crimes that have been taking place across the globe. Italy's support to Tel Aviv must stop once and for all.
A solution to the onslaught in Gaza could be found if the international community stopped militarily supporting Israel. Italy, on its side, has been actively arming Israel through companies such as Leonardo and others. If we don't make sure that the Palestinians' right to self-determination is protected, and nothing will ever change.
Earlier this week, more protests and initiatives in solidarity with the besieged Palestinians were held in several Italian cities, including Milan and Naples. Max Cibili, Rome.
And with that, we come to the end of this broadcast.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
About yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, March 17th, 2024. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So, please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and here we are with you with many reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of the names that have sent us reception reports, which include Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, Tarek from Bangladesh, and Thomas Mobius from Germany. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our engineers and technicians. You know why? Because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service for our listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving QSL card from us. So, Rob Den Boer, Thomas, and Tarek, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And from Pakistan, we've received an email from Malik Allah Bachaya Khokkar. And from Pakistan, we've received an email from Rafiullah Mandukhail, and from Germany, we've received an email from Thomas Mobius, which later during the program, I will read your great emails from around the world. Stay with us, please. Nature has always been inspiring for humans. For example, airplanes were inspired by the natural flying abilities of birds and bats. On the other hand, there is a group of people who have a mystic view toward the natural scenery, which they reflect them in their poems or literary pieces. Personally speaking, among the natural sciences, waterfall has always been attractive to many people, especially me. Just imagine roaring water flowing over a vertical drop or a series of steep drops and then at the end finding peace and calm. Great. I find it inspiring because in life we find peace and calm after going through hardships and ups and downs. Oh, it's a little philosophical, I know. Anyway, today I'm going to talk about the tallest stair-like waterfall in the West Asia region, Piran Waterfall, which is located in Kermanshah province, Western Iran. Stay with us, please. I will talk about Piran Waterfall more. Welcome back. Before I read an email from Pakistan from Malik Allah Bachaya, I just wanted to talk about Piran Waterfall a little more. As you may know, Piran Waterfall is located in Sarpol-e-Zahab County, Kermanshah province in western Iran. This waterfall is one of the tallest waterfalls of Iran, which flows on a high wall and shows a very unique view. Piran Waterfall is a three-floor waterfall, with its two upper floors being very tall and the lower floor, which is shorter. The third floor of the waterfall is located below the trees and is not visible from above. The total height of the cascade from the top of the cliffs to the lowest point of the third floor is about 150 meters, and that's great. Okay, let's see what Malik Al-Bachaya from Pakistan says. He says, for over a century, radio has been an essential source of information, entertainment, and companionship. From the crackling broadcast of yesteryears to the crystal-clear transmissions of today, its evolution mirrors our own journey through time. Yet, amidst the digital revolution, radio persists as a beacon of accessibility. Its simplicity transcends socioeconomic barriers, reaching remote villages and bustling cities alike. In regions where internet penetration is limited, radio remains a lifeline, delivering vital news, educational content, and cultural programs. Moreover, radio serves as a catalyst for change. It amplifies diverse voices, empowering marginalized communities to share their stories and advocate for their rights. Through citizen journalism and grassroots initiatives, radio galvanizes social movements and catalyzes progress. Let us reaffirm our commitment to this enduring medium. Let us recognize its power to inform, unite, and inspire. In an increasingly interconnected world, radio remains a testament to the enduring power of voice. Regards. First of all, salam and warm greetings from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Malik Al-Bachaya from Pakistan, and many thanks for writing to us. Your description of radio was perfect, I think. Appreciations to you for that. So please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation through this email. Malik Al-Bachaya from Pakistan, please write to us soon and tell us your views about IRB English radio programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. So, I was talking about Piran Waterfall, which is located in Sarpol-e-Zahab County, Kermanshah province in western Iran. And as I said, this waterfall is one of the tallest waterfalls of Iran and is the tallest waterfall in West Asia region. The flora of this place is also unique. You may not believe. There is clean air, pure oxygen. And what a good feeling we could have in that place. I wish you could visit Piran Waterfall and the regions around it. And, you have to go to the bottom of the waterfall and enjoy the unique sound of the water, which is flowing from above. The region around the waterfall is also very stunning and so relaxing. It looks like paradise with a stir-like waterfall. Yes, it is. There are several routes to reach this waterfall, but remember one thing, dear listeners. Be there in Piran Waterfall before the month of October, since after this time, after the month of October, it gets very cold in that place, and reaching this point becomes very difficult. So please be there around the region in Waterfall, Piran Waterfall, just before the month of October, because it becomes very cold and reaching the point becomes very difficult. And you have to keep in mind that in order to visit the mountain that the Piran waterfall flows from, you should be at the bottom of it, because the waterfall from above is not visible since the flora is thick. Great. And let's see what our listener from Germany says. Thomas Mobius from Germany, who is one of our regular listeners, says, "My name is Thomas Mobius and I'm writing to you from Germany. I received your program a few days ago. If it's possible, I would like to receive a QSL card. Many thanks and best regards from Germany. First of all, salam and warm greetings from Iran. I'm grateful to you for this email, Thomas Mobius from Germany. Of course, an EQSL or electronic QSL will soon be sent to you as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon." Welcome back. Let's see what our listener from Pakistan says. Rafiullah Mando Khail from Pakistan says, "Hello, IRIB team. Hope you're doing good. I am a journalist by profession at the moment, but literally, I have remained an international radio listener for almost 2 decades. Your radio team should feel proud of the excellent job you do. Keep up the noble job. I'm interested in the rich history, diverse culture, multicolor traditions and lifestyle of the indigenous communities in your country. I belong to a remote and hilly part of the country where people have little access to internet, so I prefer to post mail rather than an email, as I rarely check my emails due to non-availability of the internet facility. I humbly request you, please send me books, magazines, year planners and diary, etc., via post mail for my media office and library as well. I will be waiting anxiously to receive your valuable gifts. I will keep in touch with you in future. Regards. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Rafiullah Mandokhil from Pakistan. Many thanks for writing to us and many thanks for your compliments, your support and your commitment to IRIB English Radio. And we are so happy to hear that you like our programs as you described our radio team, an excellent team. And you said that our radio team should feel proud of the excellent jobs we do. And you said, keep up the noble job. Thank you for your compliments. And it's good to hear that you are interested in Iran, its diverse culture, multicolored traditions, and their rich history and the lifestyle of the indigenous communities in Iran. Thank you for your compliments. We welcome your views about our programs, Rafiullah from Pakistan. Many thanks for writing to us. Of course, an electronic QSL will be sent to you. For the time being, please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as confirmation to this email. Maybe in the future, we could be able to send you the mails as you've requested. Anyway, many thanks for writing to us. Write to Asunta and tell us your views about our programs. Appreciations to you again. Welcome back. And in this edition of Listeners Special, we talked about Piran Waterfall, which is located in western Iran in Kermanshah province. And Iran is the land of wonders and beauties, as I'll always say. But we have come to the end of this edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and listen to the special program. But before saying goodbye, I just wanted to send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports and emails from around the world, including Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, Tarek from Bangladesh, Thomas Mobius from Germany, Malik Alapachayo from Pakistan, Thomas Mobius from Germany, and Rafiullah Mandokhil from Pakistan. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran.
کتاب الله
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe,
استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Alhamdulillah, we are into the month of Ramadan. It's a month of Allah's blessings, rahmah, and forgiveness. It is a month which is not only for fasting. It is a month which is also connected with the Quran. In the Ahadith, the month of Ramadan is described as the Rabi'ul Quran. This is the spring season for the Holy Book. It is also a month of du'as. The tradition that we have of reciting different du'as every day and night of the month of Ramadan, this is not just a cultural issue. In the ayat of Quran in Surah Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the command for the fasting and then comes with the details of the rulings about it, in between he says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي, that, O Muhammad, when my servants ask you about me, respond to them by saying, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am close to you. I am close to you. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِي, I respond to those who call me. And this is where, you know, even this concept of dua and its connection with the month of Ramadan has a religious significance itself. You know, therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends by saying, فَلِيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي, they should respond to me also, وَلِيُؤْمِنُ بِي, and trust me, أَلْعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشَدُونَ, so that they can be rightly guided. The du'as that we have from the Prophet of Islam and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, especially for the month of Ramadan, they basically have dual purpose. One is, of course, we learn how to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the du'as taught to us by the Prophet and the Imams. But they also have an indirect message that it's not just sufficient to do du'a. See what you can do in order to bring about the wishes and the desires that you have. For example, there is a very famous du'a which is recited after all the prayers during the month of Ramadan, and this is from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Where it begins with the dua, Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-qubur al-surur. And if you look at that section of the dua, there are actually 10 categories that the Prophet is asking us to pray for them. The first was ahli al-qubur, the people who are already passed away. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them surur, you know, peace and tranquility and happiness. And then, Allahumma aghni kulla faqir, Allahumma ashbi kulla jai', Allahumma kza kulla uriyan, Allahumma dayna kulla madin. Then, talking about the people who are with us, the second dua is, oh Allah, you know, make everyone who is poor, you know, to be self-sufficient, free from poverty. O Allah, feed everyone who is hungry. O Allah, provide decent clothing for those who don't have proper covering. And O Allah, fulfill the debts of those who are in debt. Then we go on to even more the category of the people who are even in a worse situation. Allahumma farrijan kulli makroob. Allahumma rudda kulla ghareeb, Allahumma fukka kulla asir. Where we are praying for the relief of those who are in distress, or those who are displaced and stranded away from their place, and those who are innocently in prison. And then we come to this point, Allahumma aslih kulla fasidin min umuri al-muslimin, a general dua for the ummah, that Allah put everything right which is wrong among the affairs of the Muslim ummah. Allahumma shfi kulla marid, and then the dua for the people who are not feeling well, that may Allah grant them, you know, speedy and complete, you know, cure and healing, inshallah. So these are the 10, you know, categories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to pray for them. It's only the Prophet of Allah is asking us to do that. It's only at the end. The last four, you know, statements are about ourselves, where we say, Allahumma sudda faqrana bighinaq. Oh Allah, you know, relieve me of my of our poverty, because you are free from need. Allahumma ghayyir su'halina, ghayyir su'halina bi husni halik. Oh Allah, improve our situation, make it better the way you are. Allahumma ghdi anna ad-dayn. Oh Allah, relieve us of our debts. Wa aghnina min al-faqr, and make us free from poverty. It's interesting that poverty comes twice. Four things we are asking for ourselves. The first one was sudda faqrana bighinaq, and then at the end, waghnina min al-faqr. So this is where we see that, you know, the emphasis in the du'as is also that we pray for others before we pray for ourselves. Except in one case. You will see wherever there is a dua for asking for forgiveness of sins, we start with ourselves. Where you say, Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya. When you are talking about istighfar, first you talk about yourself, that Allah forgive my sins and the sins of my parents and the mu'mineen on the day of Qiyamah. And so this emphasis of the dua itself, you know, is an indirect message. It's not only to pray for them, rather it is an indirect way of, you know, the Prophet saying this is a call for action. What can you do in these 10 categories of individuals, you know, to be part of this process? Yes, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who relieves people of poverty. He is the one who will, you know, relieve them of their distress. But can we become one link in that rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can we become this wasila there? And that is what we have to think about. Because according to a beautiful conversation between Hisham bin Hakam and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, Hisham asked him, why has fasting been made wajib? What is the reason behind it? And the sixth Imam basically responds by saying, إِنَّمَا فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَ الصِّيَامِ لِيَسْتَوِيَ بِهِ الْغَنِيِّ وَالْفَقِيرِ. He says, you know, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting wajib, one of the reasons, is that he would like to bring the rich and the poor on the same level. On the same level, in a sense, both will go through this feeling of hunger and thirst. Not that the rich have to become like poor. Of course, it could be that, you know, the poor have to become like rich. But here, yastawiya, to become equal in feeling that, you know, challenges during the month of Ramadan. Because then the Imam goes on to say that a person who is affluent, he's fasting, yes, he goes through hunger and thirst, you know, by the end of the day, he's still sure there is iftar at home. You know, whereas a person who is faqir, who is poor, they go through fasting, but there is no assurance at the end of the day that they will have iftar at home. You know, and this is where the Imam then says, أن يستوي بين خلقه وأن يذيق الغني مس الجوع. And so that, you know, the rich and poor on that level of feeling this challenging, the challenge of fasting will be same. And the rich will realize what it means to be hungry. And then this is where this sense of, you know, charity will come in. And so this is how even the Imam basically relates this whole phenomenon of fasting on a social level. So yes, it is primarily a spiritual issue for us in order to control our desires. But there is also a very important social dimension of fasting. And that's where we see at the end of the month of Ramadan, fitra, the charity on the day of Eid becomes wajib.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 ya Habib. Ramadan, Ramadan, laytaka dawman qareeb, laytaka dawman qareeb.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The dawns of the month of Ramadan should not be missed. The annual Ramadan Quranic meeting, April 30th, 2019. One of the requirements for reciting the Holy Quran is that when you want to recite a Quranic ayah, you should definitely stress those parts that you would stress if you wanted to convey a message under normal circumstances. If we want to make a comparison, we can refer to the panegyrists who recite Persian poems. As you can see, they recite those words and those sentences that they want to convey in a way that is recorded in the mind of the audience. This is what we do in everyday conversations as well. When you engage in a normal conversation, you stress those words which carry a special meaning and purpose for you. You should recite the Holy Quran like this. You should stress specific words. You should recite Quranic sentences in a way that their messages and meanings are instilled into the minds of the audience.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Good words and sentences should be accompanied by good recitation. Sometimes it is necessary to repeat a sentence in order to instill it in the minds of the audience. So, you should sometimes repeat it. A few years ago, I may have criticized those who repeated Quranic ayahs too much. Now, I want to say that repetition is sometimes necessary and vital. With one reading, the message is not conveyed. Therefore, it should be repeated 2-3 times. Sometimes, you should repeat 2-3 ayahs together. I do not mean that this should be done to excess. I have seen that some Egyptian qura do this to excess. This has a negative effect. So, I do not mean that it should be done to excess. If you repeat something 8-10 times, this is not ideal. It may be common in Arabic singing, but it is not ideal in reciting the Holy Quran. However, repetition, until the message is instilled in the mind of the audience, is necessary. Sometimes, one feels that a reciter recites the Holy Quran as if he were taking a book in his hands and reading it word by word. This is not good, and it does not fulfill the purpose.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.